Freda Faulkner and Kate Binchy in Shadows of the Past, a play for radio by Rosemary Timperley.
Can I help you? Were you looking for someone?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you live there?
In this house, yes.
Strange seeing it again.
Again?
I used to live here many years ago. That's why I was standing staring at it.
Oh.
I suppose... Would it be possible for me to look around?
Oh, well, it's a bit difficult. It's all divided into bedsitters.
Really? That must have changed its character a great deal.
You lived here when it was all of a piece, did you?
It's the house where I was born.
How romantic. I remember.
The trouble is that I don't. I'd quite forgotten what it looked like. But now that I see it, I recognize it. That's why I'd like to see inside. I might recognize that, too.
I could show you the entrance hall, if you like.
Would you? I'd be grateful.
Sure. Come on.
Thank you.
I don't remember this at all.
Hardly surprising. It's bound to have been redecorated since you were here, apart from structural alterations.
That's familiar. That staircase going up to the first floor.
Oh, my room's at the top of that. You can come up and see it if you like.
Thank you.
But I can't go knocking on everyone's door so that you can do a grand tour.
Of course not. I wouldn't expect it. I'd like to see your room.
Come on up for a minute.
What a pretty room.
Cheap and cheerful. All I can afford. What was it in your day? A bedroom?
I don't know.
You don't remember much about the house where you lived?
Hardly anything. That's the trouble. Wait, though. Yes.
What is it?
That tree outside the window. So that's where it came from.
What?
I've seen that tree in my mind's eye so often. I didn't know it actually existed. Thought I'd sort of invented it. But it was a memory.
How long did you live here?
Until I was 12.
But that's a long time. I lived in the same house for 10 years when I was a child, and I can remember it all in detail. It was the whole world.
Other people have told me much the same.
If it's so vague and unimportant to you, why have you come back?
It's not unimportant. Something happened here.
I expect a lot of things happened in 12 years.
Yes, indeed, but I can't remember any of them. My childhood is a blank. Just a blank.
Amnesia?
That's what the doctors call it.
You'd better sit down.
I'm being a nuisance to you.
No, that's all right. You're in some sort of trouble.
Not exactly trouble. But I want very much to find out what did happen.
Why? I mean, why now? You're not all that young. Oh, dear, that sounds rude.
Not at all. 30's far from young. And I feel as old as the hills.
Now, let's get this straight. You were born here, lived here for 12 years, left, and after that you had no recollection of any of it. Right?
Right.
Then my guess is that something... pretty awful happened.
That's my guess, too. That's why I've got to find out.
Have you ever tried before?
No, I've shied away from it. But then I only had myself to consider. Now it's different. I want to get married, but I can hardly ask a girl to marry me when there's this shadow in the past. It wouldn't be fair to her.
Nonsense. If she loves you, she won't care. What's the first thing you remember?
A ward in a children's hospital.
What was the matter with you?
I'd been in an accident, had various fractures and a head wound. I remember being proud of the number of stitches in my head and getting the nurses to sign the plaster of Paris splint on my right arm.
Oh, kids. Marvellous in hospital.
How do you know?
I'm a nurse. I don't nurse children now, but I did during my training.
So that's why you're so kind.
I'm not always. Some ward sisters make me feel the very opposite. What caused your accident?
I was run over by a car. I don't remember it, but they told me.
Oh, poor little boy, how awful. Your parents must have been very upset.
I don't know.
But why not?
They never came to see me. I used to wait for them to come, especially when parents of other children in the ward came. I'd sit looking at the door, only pretending not to look, you know?
Yes. What were you told about them?
That they'd had to go away, but sent their love.
Did they write?
No.
How well do you remember them?
I don't remember them at all. That's part of the amnesia.
But when you were watching the door, hoping they'd come, you knew who you were looking for.
No, I didn't. I just presumed when the visitors came in that my parents would come to my bed, the way other parents came to other children's beds. I'd got to know the others well by sight, so whenever there was a new visitor, man or woman or two together, I'd think, maybe those are mine. But they never were.
If they never came, where did you go when you were ready to leave hospital?
To foster parents, John and Magda. They were in their early 40s, childless, and they were very good to me. I had what's known as a happy childhood from 13 onwards. Before that, it's a blank.
Didn't you ever question them about the past?
At first, yes, but they always put me off. They just told me my parents had had to go away through no fault of their own and had made sure before they left that I'd be well looked after. Well, I was. Anyway, I was fully occupied at school and managed to put the past out of my mind most of the time.
Well, what happened when you left school?
I went to university and studied English language and literature. Then I took a teacher's diploma and I've been a school teacher ever since. That's why I've had time in the long vacation to wander about and look at old houses, when most of the rest of the population is still hard at work.
Don't sound so apologetic about it. You teachers need your holidays. You're about as hard worked as the poor nurses.
But you don't have long holidays.
Nor do we have to control rebel classes. Patients are pretty disciplined. What's your name?
Colin Harrow. Yours?
Anne Marchand. Would you like some coffee?
Well,
I'll make some. No, don't move. It's only a matter of boiling water on the gas ring and producing the old jar of instant. Oh, smoke if you like. Here's an ashtray.
Thanks. You?
No, thank you. I don't. Do you still live with John and Magda?
No. I haven't lived with them since I went to university. As a student, I had digs near college and only went back during vacations. Since I've been teaching, I have lived in a flat near school. Now, I only go back for Christmas because they invite me. One has to go somewhere.
Invite? Don't you regard them as your parents?
Not really. I regard them as good, kind friends. I'm grateful to them, fond of them, and know that I owe them a great deal. But the barrier of their secrecy remains.
Colin, now you're trying to find out. Have you asked John or Magda again?
Yes, last Christmas. That was shortly after I'd met Mary. She joined the staff in the autumn term. We got on so well that I knew then I wanted to marry her one day. So I did ask Magda, when I got her alone for a moment, to tell me about myself.
And?
She closed up like a clam and looked upset at the same time. Well, she'd worked so hard to make it a happy Christmas, and in a way it had been, that I hadn't the heart to. You know.
Yes, I see.
Then the new term started, followed by the summer term, the exam term, and I concentrated on all that. And saw a lot of Mary and what little free time we had. I made up my mind that come the long vacation, I'd damn well try to find out something. So there I was, standing outside this house, staring at it, and you found me.
I'm so glad I did.
So am I.
Here's your coffee.
Lovely, thanks.
Milk and sugar?
Neither, Anne. Plain black.
Same here. Well, what next?
I don't know. When I saw the outside of the house, I knew it. And that staircase, I knew that. And the tree outside your window, that's an old friend. But where does it all get me?
If you'd forgotten everything, how did you know the address?
It's on my birth certificate.
How did you know that you were here for 12 years?
Magda told me that much.
And there's been no word at all from your parents all this time?
Not a whisper.
Who was driving the car that knocked you over?
I don't know. No one special. Kids are always running out into the road. Some poor driver doesn't see them in time, and it happens.
Can't you remember it at all? I just thought that being knocked over like that would be unforgettable at any age.
I can't remember it at all. But sometimes I have a dream.
Yes?
In that dream, I'm running away from someone. I don't know who. I hear the car coming, but I can't stop running, so I run under its wheels. Then I wake up.
No idea who you might be running away from?
Not the slightest. You've got your bed next to the window.
My divan, yes. I like to look out of the window when I'm in bed. I can never understand how people can sleep with closed curtains. And I love the tree.
So did I. And my bed was there too. This room was my bedroom. Yes, it was, this room. Everything was different from the way it is now, except that tree, and the fact that the bed is by the window. I must have had years of looking at that tree. No wonder I knew it before I saw it. I mean, remembered it. My God, this room, your room was my bedroom, in the forgotten time.
Ah, but it's not entirely forgotten. You've remembered.
On moonlight nights, it casts a shadow on the wall, and you watch the tree shadow travel round the wall as the hours pass.
Yes.
Oh, Anne, this is real memory. It's a start. Now I must remember the rest.
Oh, don't try too hard. It won't come.
But I must try.
No, leave it for now. Don't force anything. Let it happen to you. Trying to remember is useless. Oh, you know that from small things like trying to remember a name or a face. It's when you stop trying that it comes.
But I stopped trying for many years and nothing came.
You weren't ready. Maybe you're ready now, but gradually.
You have been good to me. I'm glad I came. But now I must be off. Thanks for coffee. May I come again?
If you want to. I'll be getting home at the same time as tonight for the next 3 days. Then I switch duties.
Thanks, Anne. I'll remember. Good night.
Oh, hello, Mr. Lord. Oh,
good evening, Mr. Marchand. I'm glad I found you in.
Anything wrong?
Yes, the plumbing in one of the downstairs rooms.
Oh, a landlord's life is full of troubles. Do come in and sit down.
Thank you, only for a moment. The point is that the water will be cut off for a couple of hours tomorrow morning, so I'm trailing round to tell everyone not to turn on taps or flush loos during that time.
Okay, I shall be out anyway. I'd like to ask you something, if you wouldn't mind.
What is it?
Mr. Lord, when you first bought this house...
That was a long time ago, about 18 years.
Yes, I thought it was. What do you remember about the people who lived here before?
I never met them. An agent handled the sale.
But when you first moved in, was there any talk?
Why are you asking?
I've met someone who very much wants to know.
One of the other tenants?
No, a man who says he lived here as a child.
Really? What does he want to know?
Anything at all. He's got a memory blank about that period of time.
Extraordinary thing.
You do know something.
Look, Miss Marchant, when I bought this house, I had it completely renovated, redecorated and converted into bedsitters. All that took a long time. And when my first batch of tenants moved in, past history was virtually forgotten. What gossip there was faded and died. And I don't want it all dug up again. All the people living here live alone. Lonely people are nervous. I can't have my tenants upset by more talk starting up again.
But what talk? What happened?
Please don't ask me. Let the past lie, my dear.
I'm not asking for myself, but for Colin. Colin Harrow. Were the previous owners called Harrow?
They were. But don't you see that if this young man has forgotten it all, it's best that he should never remember. Amnesia is nature's protection.
He wants to get married.
To you?
No, I've only met him once.
Then why are you taking all this trouble?
Because he's in trouble.
I'd have thought you had enough of that sort of thing with a ward full of patients. You never really go off duty, do you?
I can't help it. It's the way I'm made.
When are you seeing him again?
I don't know. It was left that he could come back for a talk if he likes. If he does, may I send him down to you, even if you don't want to tell me what happened? You might...
No, Miss Marchant. Sorry, but there is such a thing as atmosphere, telepathy even. The people here are contented enough, and I want it to stay that way. I hope that Colin Harrow won't come back.
I'm so glad you came, Colin.
Thanks. I don't want to be a nuisance, but you did say yesterday...
Yes, and I meant it. How are you getting on?
Memory-wise, I'm not. But I've got an idea. Stupid of me not to think of it before. Who's your landlord?
His name's Mr. Lord.
Does he live on the premises?
Yes.
Do you know how long he's been here?
A long time.
He might be able to tell me something. If you'll show me his room, I'll see if I can speak to him now.
No. You can't.
Why not?
He wouldn't want to talk about it.
You know something?
No.
What are you hiding?
I'm not hiding anything. Oh, I suppose I'd better tell you. After you'd gone last night, I asked him about the house.
You went to see him specially? That was very sweet of you.
No, Colin, he came up here.
Really? Why?
To tell me that the plumber was coming.
Oh.
Well, I told him about your visit and asked him if he could help. He refused to talk about past history. He doesn't want people upset.
And never mind about me being upset. What nonsense! Anything he told me would be confidential. I wouldn't go gossiping with the tenants.
All the same, there is such a thing as atmosphere.
Suppose there is. I still want to know. I'm going to see him.
No, please.
Anne, what's got into you? Yesterday you wanted to help me, and now you don't.
Oh, it's not that. I do want to help. Mr. Lord said something very sensible. He said, amnesia is nature's greatest protection. You see, when you're ready to remember, you will. It would be wrong to force it by learning facts which would mean nothing to you.
Mean nothing? They might bring my memory back.
You'd do better to stop this search. Try to forget about it.
Try to forget? That's as contradictory as trying to relax or trying to go to sleep.
Yes, I know. And I want to help, but the situation is difficult for me.
Yes, I see. Well, the last thing I'd want would be to upset you. Anne. What's on the other side of that wall?
Another bedsitter, larger than this. Why?
Who lives there?
Miss Cray.
Can you hear her when she speaks?
I hear her voice, but not what she says. Even that's rare, as she's usually alone.
But if she shouted, or if you put your ear to the wall...
I'd hardly do that.
No, but if she shouted out and you were listening at the wall, you'd hear her?
I expect so.
I want to see that room.
Oh, you can't. If you asked her, she'd wonder why, whatever excuse you made. She's a nervous little thing. Why did you want to see Miss Craig's room?
Because I've remembered something about it. I used to listen at that wall and hear voices on the other side. My parents, perhaps? Would it be their bedroom? Seems likely, yes. I get out of bed and put my ear against the wall. I knew it was a wrong thing to do. Something called eavesdropping. But I couldn't resist doing it. I can remember doing it as clearly as if I were doing it now. But I can't remember what I heard. Why did I listen, Anne? And what did I hear?
Hello, Miss Cray.
Hello, Anne, dear. Am I disturbing you?
Not a bit. I did have a friend here, but he's just gone.
Yes, I heard him.
Is anything the matter?
I don't know.
Something is the matter. Come in.
Thank you, dear.
Now, what is it?
Well, it's hard to explain.
Try.
It's my room. There's something frightening about it.
Frightening? But you've been living there for years.
Yes, 5 years. But just lately. Oh, and I don't know what it is. But when I go to bed, I find I can't sleep. And I lie there feeling afraid, as if something terrible is going to happen.
What sort of thing?
That's it. I don't know. I've tried to reason myself out of it, and I thought perhaps if I came and told you, you're such a sensible girl, and you are a nurse. Oh, do you think I'm going out of my mind?
You, good gracious, no. You're nervous and imaginative, but that's quite different from going out of your mind. Something's happened to upset you.
Nothing has happened. If it had, I'd have understood why I'm in this state.
Do you think perhaps you're alone a bit too much?
No more than I'm accustomed to. I have company all day, and until very recently I've enjoyed having my evenings to myself. But now there's this feeling of fear. Why am I so frightened?
I don't know, Miss Craig. But never mind about why for the moment. What are we going to do about it? If you're afraid to sleep in your room tonight, then would you like to stay here?
Oh, I couldn't possibly inconvenience you like that.
It would inconvenience me far more to think of you lying in terror on the other side of that wall. I wouldn't get a wink myself. I'll make up my bed for you.
You will do no such thing. You're a very hard-working girl. You need your proper rest.
But I can get that in the armchair. I've done it before when someone stayed the night. I'll wrap myself up in extra blankets and be very snug.
No, I couldn't hear of it, and that's final. But if I might sleep in your armchair... Oh, my dear, I would be so very grateful.
All right, Miss Craig, just for tonight. But tomorrow night, if you're still scared, you must sleep in my bed.
No, no.
Yes, listen to me. I start night duty tomorrow, so I shan't be here. I leave the bed made up for you and leave my door unlocked so you can come in or not as you please. After a few nights in here, probably this fear thing will wear off. And you'll be back to normal.
You are a dear girl. I'm more grateful than I can say.
Good morning, Miss Craig. Up and dressed already?
Yes, dear. And I've changed the bedding, so your bed is all ready for you after your night duty.
Oh, you needn't have done that.
And I've taken my bedding back to my own room, and I'll use it again tonight. So when you've had your daytime sleep and have to go to work again, leave everything as it is.
You mustn't wait on me like this.
But it's the least I can do.
Did you have a good night? That's the main thing.
No.
You mean you were still afraid?
I kept hearing voices on the other side of the wall.
From your own room?
Yes.
But there was no one there.
I know. Twice I went to look. I am ill, aren't I? I even kept getting up and putting my ear to the wall.
You did what?
It's true. I kept getting up and listening. That wall.
Hello, Colin Harrow speaking.
Colin, this is Anne Marchant.
Hello, Anne.
You know I told you that a woman called Miss Craig lives in the bed sit next to mine?
Yes.
She's in a frightful state of nerves, scared, without knowing why. I'm having quite a time with her. And I think it's a sort of telepathy. It's to do with you coming back here and breaking up the past. So you've got to stop it. And don't come back here.
But I want to see you again.
Well, then I'll meet you somewhere. Or come round to your place one evening before I go on duty. As long as you don't come back here.
You make me sound like some dreadful villain.
Oh, please, don't be offended. Are you all right?
I'm feeling a bit distraught, chasing my memory along so many blind alleys. Oh, please, come and see me. Anne! Oh, it's good to see you. Come in.
Thanks, Colin. Nice little flat.
A bit shabby, but it suits me. Come and sit down.
I haven't got long. I'm on duty at 8.
All your adoring patience waiting on tenterhooks?
Don't be silly.
I wish you were there to soothe my fevered brow in the still small hours of the morning. Not that they're all that still. I keep listening to voices all the time.
Voices?
Yes, a man and a woman.
Colin, don't you think perhaps you're getting rather too emotional and imaginative?
You think I'm imagining it? Auditory hallucinations, yes, I've read about them. They're one of the symptoms of schizophrenia. One hears voices, like Joan of Arc and Teresa of Avila. You think I've gone round the bend?
No.
Maybe just going round, the halfway stage. Could that be the secret of the House of Bedsitters? Someone went mad there once, is that it? Could it have been dear old Dad? Does the silent Mr. Lord still shudder at the shade of the raiding nut in the first floor front?
You're not being all that amusing.
I'm not feeling all that amused.
Poor Colin, I'm sorry.
I've got a feeling that one day, quite soon, my memory will come flooding back. I want it to. Yet I'm afraid of it at the same time. But I mustn't be afraid. I can't go back now. I must go on. I need some sort of shove to push me over the edge into memory. Oh, if only you'd let me see Miss Craig's room.
No, Colin, I told you on the telephone. She's very upset. She's having to sleep in my room now. Even so, she doesn't get much sleep.
All the time, people are trying to prevent me from knowing what I want to know. Even my own muzzy head is preventing me. I've tried and tried to remember, and it's as impossible as trying to forget, trying to relax, trying to sleep.
If only you'd stop trying to do anything.
I can't.
Could you give me a cup of coffee before I go?
Oh, Anne, of course. If I go on like this, you'll begin to hate the sight of me. Did you get any sleep today?
Not much, but I'm all right. It's difficult changing hours before one gets accustomed.
Wait here, I'll get your coffee. The kettle's on.
Thank you. Couldn't Mary help you at all?
How?
Just by coming here, being with you, talking, listening.
She's in the country with her parents.
There are such things as letters and the telephone.
Here you are. A quick cup of black instant.
Mm, thank you.
No, I must get this business sorted out by myself. I've always done everything important by myself. Nobody really shares anything.
Some people can.
Then they're lucky. Oh, I suppose I must have shared a life with my parents once. But as I can't remember it, it means nothing. My life started when I was 12 and alone. It's turned me into a natural loner. Pity that loners have to fall in love. It goes against the grain. Sorry about this trouble over Miss Craig. It's my fault.
Things happen. Often there's no question of fault.
As long as I keep away, I expect she'll just get over it. Then you'll have your room to yourself again.
Oh, I don't mind her being there at night. I'm only worried about her.
Then stop worrying and drink your coffee.
Mm. Then I must go.
Will you come again tomorrow? Same time, same coffee?
All right.
I don't know what I'd do without you now. Maybe you have the same effect on other people, including Miss Craig.
Morning, Miss Craig.
Hello, dear. Busy night?
Fairly. No more than usual. No one died. Those are the bad nights.
They must be. What you poor nurses go through and the rest of us. Anne, dear, I want to thank you for letting me use your room like this, but you won't have to put up with it anymore. I'm leaving today.
Leaving? Oh, no.
It's the only sensible thing to do. I can't stay in this haunted house any longer. I told Mr. Law.
Haunted? But that's absurd. You never felt it was haunted before.
I know, but it is now. Maybe it'll get over it the way people get over illnesses. Something beyond me is going on here, and the only thing I can do is run away.
But where will you go?
Well, one of the girls at the office has just been deserted by her husband. She's very sad and lonely, and I'm going to stay with her for a while. Then I shall find somewhere else.
I shall miss you.
I shall miss you too, Anne. But it can't be helped. Now, dear, I've made up your bed, so you'll get your proper sleep before your next night duty.
I'll try to sleep.
Of course you will. Goodbye, my dear child.
Goodbye, Miss Craig.
Sleep well.
Yes. Come in.
Oh, you're in bed. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Lord. I'm on nights this week. What time is it?
4 o'clock. You go back to sleep.
No. It's almost time to get up. Come in. What did you want?
I hate troubling you, Miss Marchand.
You're not. What is it?
Are you still seeing Colin Harrow?
Yes, and I'm going to see him again today before I go on duty.
Is he still searching for his memory?
Very much so.
You know Miss Craig has left.
Of course, it's a shame.
Yes, it is a shame. Miss Marchand, if you have any influence at all over this young man, stop him from going on like this.
I couldn't. He's determined. I've stopped him from bothering you and I've stopped him from coming here. I can't do more than that. He wants to find out about his parents. It's quite natural.
If I tell you a little of what I know, show you how futile it would be for him to know...
Well, what?
His mother is dead. His father is alive in a mental hospital.
That's all. Heavens, Mr. Law, there must be thousands of people in the same boat. Colin isn't a child. Why won't you tell him? Or let me tell him.
He might want to find his father.
I'm sure he would. Do you know where his father is?
Yes. Soon after I bought this house, I found out the history of the previous owner, Richard Harrow, and the thought of him haunts me. Or perhaps he haunted me. He was a terribly sick man, Miss Marchand. No good could come from your friend's search. It would bring him nothing but distress, horror even. You must do your best to stop him.
But that was a long time ago. His father might have got better.
And he might have got worse. Far worse.
Here you are, Anne. Coffee all made and waiting.
Oh, thank you, Colin. What sort of a day have you had?
A day of walking much, thinking a lot, remembering nothing. What about you?
I slept until 4 o'clock.
Good. And how's Miss Craig?
She's left.
What?
Yes. I think she was right. The place had got completely on her nerves.
So that bedsit is empty now?
Not for long. Mr. Lord will advertise it and it'll soon be snapped up. I only hope it'll be someone who doesn't play a trumpet or throw pot parties.
It hasn't been snapped up yet.
No. Miss Craig only left this morning.
I want it.
You? Oh, don't be ridiculous. It's not a patch on this nice little flat.
I want it.
No, Colin.
Why not? Afraid to have me next door?
Now, don't be silly. But what's the point?
The point is that part of my life is in that room and I want to find it. When that neurotic woman was there, I kept away because you persuaded me to. But now, an empty room waiting for me. It's a chance I've been waiting for. I knew a breakthrough was coming.
What are you doing?
Ringing Mr. Lord.
You don't know his number.
Oh, yes, I do. I looked it up some time ago. I've almost telephoned that man several times. Only the thought of you held me back.
Hello?
Hello. Is that Mr. Lord?
Speaking.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Lord. I believe you have a vacant bedsitter in your house. I'm looking for a room.
Colin, stop this. If you don't...
All right.
Hello, you still there?
Yes, Mr. Lord. Sorry, I was interrupted. I would like to take your vacant room for a while. My name is Colin Harrow.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Harrow, but the room is already booked.
It can't be. You haven't had time to advertise.
The room is already booked, Mr. Harrow.
I'm coming round to see you.
No.
I'm coming now.
Mr. Harrow, I told you not to come. The room is not free. You've had a wasted journey.
No, I haven't, Mr. Lord. I should have come to see you before. You know what happened in this house when I was a child. Tell me about it.
I can't tell you anything that would help you.
I don't care whether it helps me or not. I want the truth.
The truth? That's a large order. Look, Miss Marchand told me about you.
I know, and you set yourself against me.
Not against you at all. Please go home and get on with your own life.
But I have no life until I get my past back. I feel like a ghost sometimes.
We all feel like that sometimes.
Did my father go mad here? Is that it? If it is, it wouldn't shock me so terribly. I often feel I'm going mad myself. Mad with frustration. So tell me! Tell me!
Please don't shout like that. Voices can be heard in other rooms.
I know. Who better? These walls are far from soundproof.
Please go now, Mr. Harrow. There is nothing for you here.
You're about as determined as I am, aren't you? Let's compromise. I know that room is empty. Let me stay there for one night tonight. No ulterior motive, Mr. Lord. Anne won't be there. She'll be on night duty at the hospital.
I know that.
Then why shouldn't I stay in that room just for one night? I'll pay you, of course.
Why do you want it so much?
Because I need one big shove to get my memory back. I can't go on living with myself, with so much of myself, a stranger to myself. Oh, how muddled that sounds.
No, it doesn't. All right. The room is yours for tonight. On two conditions.
Yes?
The first. After spending the night in that room, you'll go away and stop this obsessive search for a lost memory.
Well?
I want your promise.
In for a penny, in for a pound, okay. And the other condition?
Just that if you find a night in that room at all distressing, don't hesitate to come down here and knock on my door.
So this is the room where the voices belong. Perhaps tonight I'll hear what they say. It's got to be tonight. It's the only chance I have. What an ordinary room it is. Might be a bedsitter anywhere. Tidy, impersonal, waiting for the next comer. So, what now? Just sit and wait. Wait.
No. What's going on out there? Colin!
What's that, Mr. Lord? Oh, my God, who's that?
A young friend of mine, Mr. Brown. He was staying the night in Miss Clegg's room.
He's out for the count. Fall down the stairs, did he?
Apparently. Look, don't move him in case bones are broken. I'll ring for an ambulance.
Okay, Mr. Lord, I'll stay here. You never know what's going to happen next.
I must get out.
That's all right, son. All right. Don't you move now.
Father?
No, son, no. I'm not your dad. You just stay still. Be all right. Nothing to worry about.
I'm out.
Don't be daft. Can't get out in that state. What are you running away from anyway?
I got through to the ambulance service. They're coming.
He's coming round. Delirious, I'd say.
It's all right, Colin. The ambulance is coming.
The wheel of the car, no.
All right, son. You fell downstairs, that's all.
I'm home. That noise, I've heard it before.
Hello, Colin.
Anne, what are you doing here?
Mr. Lord told me what happened when I came back from duty, so I came straight to the hospital. How are you feeling?
History's repeated itself. I have stitches in my head and my right arm in plaster. Like being a little boy again.
Why did you do it?
I had to. Old Lord understood, after a bit of persuading. He's not such a bad old boy.
I know. What happened?
I'll tell you. And I want to tell you. Just you.
Wait, I'll pull the curtains round. There. An illusion of privacy.
No wonder your patients love you.
Never mind about them. I want to hear about you. What happened, Colin?
He said I might stay for one night. I went up there, closed the door, looked at the room. It meant nothing to me. I sat down in the easy chair, like the one you've got in your room, and tried to soak in the atmosphere. Nothing. Not a bloody thing. I began to think I was only making a fool of myself, behaving like a nut. I felt like a nut. But I stayed there. Darkness came. I didn't switch on the light. I sort of dozed off. Fell asleep? No, it wasn't real sleep. More like a sort of trance. I was listening at the wall. I heard that voice, "Love me or I'll kill you." And I moved, without moving, towards the sound. I opened the door of the room, even though I was in the room already. Oh, that sounds...
go on. I know what you mean.
I opened the door of the room. My parents' bedroom. I stood in the doorway. The light was full on, blazing overhead. The room had two beds in it. I'd seen it before, of course, but not like this. I'd only seen it in the daytime.
A man was standing over the body of a woman in one of the beds. He had his hands round her throat. He was pressing and squeezing. Her head was flopping about like a doll's head. Her face was purple. He looked up and saw me. His face, a terrible, demented, evil face. It was my father, Anne. The woman was my mother. I turned and ran down the stairs, right out into the street. A car was coming. I saw it, but I couldn't stop running. And it came on top of me like a thundering black giant. I thought, this is the end, no more. Then I woke up in a hospital bed, like now, with a plaster on my arm and stitches in my forehead. But last time, I had that wonderful, merciful sickness called amnesia. This time, I remember the lot. And I remember things before that, too. I remember my mother's coldness towards me and father. I remember the coldness of the house. No love. I remember the words spoken through the wall I listened at. The rows, the final, love me or I'll kill you. Some people use words without meaning them. He did what he said he'd do. He killed her because he said he would. He had to do what he said he'd do. I'm like that. I do what I say I'll do. It may take me a long time to say anything, but if I say I'll do something, I've promised myself, so I have to do it. I understand him.
Yes, Colin.
It only happened yesterday.
No, it happened 18 years ago.
But the time between that and now has been a blank, a nothing.
Now, that's not true. The time between has been your adult life. What happened last night was a terrible memory of childhood.
I can still see it.
It will fade.
Never.
Yes, it will fade in time. Everything fades in time.
There's something I still want to know.
What?
What happened to him after he killed her? Was he hanged? Imprisoned for life? What? As soon as I'm well enough to get out of this place, I'm going to look up the newspapers of that year.
Haven't you found out enough without...
No, I haven't. I need to know everything. If my father wasn't hanged, if he's still alive, I want to find him. The man with the murderous face. I want to meet him face to face. I want to see the man who caused me to be born. I don't want to run away from reality anymore.
Sure about that?
Sure as hell.
Then there'd be no need to search through old newspapers. Your father is alive. Mr. Lord knows where he is.
Mr. Lord?
Yes. He's in a mental hospital.
Why didn't Lord tell me? I bet
we didn't want you to be hurt.
Then it's a good thing I found out for myself, or you well-meaning people might have stopped me. My God! One trusts people and then they...
We were worried about you. Forgive us.
Us being you and Mr. Lord. Is he only your landlord?
He's a friend, too.
What sort of friend?
A good friend.
Ask your good friend, Mr. Lord, to give me my father's address, please, Anne.
Yes, I will.
Sister Norley?
Yes?
The hospital doorman said I'd find you here.
Do sit down. You look as if you've been in the wars.
Oh, I'm afraid I am a bit of a mess.
What happened?
I fell over my feet running downstairs.
Oh, it can happen so easily. Well, now what can I do for you?
I'd like to see a patient in your ward. Richard Harrow.
Are you a journalist?
No, I'm Colin Harrow, his son.
His son?
Did you know of my existence?
Well, yes.
Part of the conspiracy?
No, not a conspiracy exactly, but... Mr. Harrow, how much do you know about your father?
I know that he killed my mother, and I saw him do it. But I remembered that only very recently, otherwise I'd have come before.
How did you find out that he was here?
From a friend of a friend.
Look, forgive me, but... Have you got any proof of your identity? I mean, anyone can walk in.
Yes, sister, I thought of that. I brought my passport complete with photo. Here. Oh,
thank you. Yes. Well, thank you, Mr. Harrow.
Thanks. Who is he?
Well, you realize he's been here for 18 years.
Yes. A sort of lifetime.
Exactly. This place is his home. He accepts it. He's very quiet and reserved. Some of the nurses call him the silent patient, and as many of the patients talk all the time, that's quite a relief. He He fits in with the routine. We're all very fond of him.
Please, may I see him now?
I'd better warn him first. It'll be a shock, you understand.
Yes, sister.
That's your father's cubicle, Mr. Harrow. Go in. He's expecting you.
Thank you, sister.
I'll leave you.
Hello. Father.
Colin.
I'm sorry I look like this. I've been in an accident.
I saw it from the window.
What?
Huh. Oh, no, that was a lifetime ago. You're grown up now.
Very much so.
You haven't really changed.
You have. I wouldn't have known you.
Perhaps because I'm not really alive. That is, the father you knew no longer exists. That cruel, desperate, bitter man. He's dead. I am left. Oh, you shouldn't have come, Colin. After this visit, you must put me right out of your life again.
I shall do no such thing. It isn't every day that one finds a father. It's good to have someone who belongs to me.
That depends who the someone is.
It doesn't. I've had no one for so long.
You mean you can forgive me?
There's no question of forgiving. You didn't do anything against me.
I did. I gave you the most terrifying experience a child could have. I shall never forget how you looked at me when you opened that door. The other night I dreamed it all over again. So vividly. As if it were happening again. As if you were seeing me again, staring at my face, a killer's face. I've never seen a killer's face myself, ironically enough. Except in the mirror, of course. But that's only a reflection. You saw the reality. My little son, the one precious thing in my life, and you saw me.
It wasn't you. That face wasn't your face. It was the face of any human creature possessed by the devil.
Yes, Colin. I was possessed by the devil. And it happened so gradually, so insidiously, this possession. I was an ordinary, frustrated man with a cold wife. Oh, no, I mustn't speak of your mother like that.
That's all right, Father. Please tell me. I want to know, if you can bear it. I want to know what happened really. What led up to it.
After you were born, your mother would have nothing more to do with me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If I hadn't loved her so passionately, I might not have minded. I'd have done what so many rejected husbands do. Got a bit on the side, settled for it. And I wasn't wise enough or sensible enough to take that course. I stayed faithful to a woman who found me physically repulsive.
But why?
I never really knew, Colin. I suspect your mother was in love with someone else. Some women can only make love when they're in love. Stendhal said something about that. I understand it now. Now that I've had so many years alone here and with so many books to read. If I'd known then what I know now. But I was a different person then. One reads about sex maniacs. There are some in this hospital. I can understand them. The only difference between them and me is that their drive, their need is towards any woman. Mine was towards only one woman. Your mother. The one I loved. The one who shared my bedroom, but not my bed. There were times when I settled for it. The fires died down, I got by. Other times the fires burned up again. I was filled with devil-induced rage. It came to a climax that night. Love me, or I'll kill you.
Yes. I remember.
She didn't believe me when I said it. Most people are so accustomed to people saying things that they don't mean that they take no notice. I meant it. I said it to her again and again. Love me, or I'll kill you.
I heard you. You did mean it.
She didn't believe me. Or if she did, perhaps she was as wretched in her own way as I was in mine. Perhaps she didn't even care what happened. Perhaps she wanted to die. I've read so much since all this happened. I've read about willing victims. She didn't resist me very much when I killed her. She seemed to be almost grateful. If it had been only the two of us fighting our love fight, hate fight, it wouldn't have mattered much, but you saw. You, my poor child. You walked in, poor little boy, terrified.
What happened afterwards?
You turned and ran down the stairs, out into the street, under the wheels of a passing car. I saw it from the window.
Yes.
For a moment, I thought you were dead, too. I went to the phone, dialed for an ambulance. And when it came, and you had been carefully lifted into it, I took one of the policemen who'd come about the accident into the bedroom and showed him what I'd done. Then I was taken to the police station, and what followed, followed.
You went through hell.
Not at first. None of it was real. I never wept. I was like a man in a dream. The trial, the sentence, then this place. You know, when I first came here, I thought perhaps I'd been hanged by the neck until I was dead and hadn't noticed. So perhaps this place was heaven. Well,
it's only a hospital.
Hospitals can be heaven or hell, according to your state of mind. The mind is its own place, and of itself can make a heaven of hell, a hell of heaven. Colin, I've never talked like this to anyone before. Usually I don't speak at all. The nurses nicknamed me the silent patient. Most of the time I talk into myself, to God. That's all. I used not to believe in God. When you find there's no one and nothing, you find you have to turn to Him in the end.
Oh, my dear father.
My dear son. My little son. Such terrible harm I did to him. What's been happening to you? I deliberately didn't try to find out. I didn't want to hurt you anymore. I even tried not to think of you in case some thought of mine might contact some thought of yours. It's very difficult to try not to think of someone. I wasn't always successful.
I think you were successful, Father. I've had amnesia about the whole business until quite recently. I'll tell you about it one day, if you're interested.
Interested? God, seeing you makes life worth living again. Maybe I'm not a dead man walking, after all. Maybe... Oh, you have no idea how wonderful this is for me. How wonderful.
Anne, he was wonderful. I'm not sure what I was expecting. Some cold-faced villain or a moron, a sort of vegetable. But he's none of those things. He's got one of the saddest, wisest faces I've ever seen. And my God, he's taught me something. He's taught me how dangerous it is to be obsessed with desire for something one can't have. How... If it gets to a certain point, evil powers are waiting to take control.
Evil powers?
Yes, there is evil as well as good in the air about us. We must always guard against it. Try to be the sort of sponge that soaks up the good rather than the evil. Oh, that's very childishly phrased. But then I've been a child again so recently.
We're all children, inside. How's your arm and the cut on your forehead?
The arm will be in plaster for a few more weeks, and the stitches are coming out of my head tomorrow. I shall be fit for the next school term.
Then you'll be able to tell Mary about it.
Mary? I don't even think of her now.
You still love her, don't you?
No, Anne. I love you.
Oh, no. You don't.
Hate to be loved, don't you? Too personal by half. Not to worry, I'm not going to ask for your hand in marriage. I wouldn't do that to any girl. I'm very like my father in some ways. And I do have a possessive streak.
Most men have.
But mine could, with only a little encouragement, control me. Marriage could destroy me as it destroyed my father, so I'll have none of it. Oh, when I say I love you, I don't mean I intend to do anything about it.
I'm sorry. I only wanted to help you.
A nurse trying to help a patient?
I suppose so.
Whatever happens to you, Anne, you'll always be more in love with your job than with any man.
It's the way I'm made. I can't help it.
That's straight anyway. Let's say goodbye.
I shall always remember you and wonder...
I shall wonder too. Where are you going now?
On duty, of course. Goodbye, Colin. Good luck.
Goodbye, my love. And thank you.
Miss Marchand?
Yes, Miss Lord. Good morning.
Good morning. My dear child, you look tired.
I am. We had a hell of a night on the ward. Someone died. What did you want?
Only to tell you that I've left Miss Craig's room.
Oh, who to?
Miss Craig.
She's coming back?
Yes. She rang me up, said she felt her room was all right now, and if I hadn't let it already, she might come back. I said, yes, 100 times yes.
Oh, that's marvellous. I'm so glad.
I thought you would be. Your room is all right?
Very much so. The air is cleared, all secrets swept away. And the tree outside the window always has a friendly face. My tree. And Colin's.
How is Colin?
Essentially happier since he met his father. He was telling me about it yesterday.
You'll go on seeing him?
No. It wouldn't be wise.
I agree with you.
I hope he'll pick up with Mary again next term. He went through all this for her, and it takes a lot of love to do that. But it's up to him. Not my business anymore.
You were very good to him, and for him.
Was I? I wonder. Oh, this sort of thing has happened before, Mr. Lord. I look after a patient, he gets fond of me, thinks he's in love, then leaves the ward and has to get over it, as Colin will. It makes me feel cold and unkind sometimes, but what else can I do?
At this moment, go up to bed and have a good day's sleep.
At this moment, that's all I want. It is nice to have you around. You won't leave the ward, will you?
My dear Miss Marchand, I shall probably still be in the ward long after you've kicked your heels and dashed off into some private heaven or hell.
That'll be the day.
That day will come. You'll fall madly in love with a glamorous doctor.
And... how do you know I haven't already?
It wouldn't surprise me in the least.
In Shadows of the Past, a play for radio by Rosemary Timperley, Colin Harrow was played by Trader Faulkner and Anne by Kate Binchy. Richard Harrow, Francis de Wolfe, Mr. Lord, Ronald Herdman, Miss Craig, Marjorie Westbury, Sister Norley, Catherine Parr, and Mr. Brown, William Edel. The play was produced by Betty Davis.